Hello and welcome to Public Words Project. We have a special project today. We are at the Los Angeles Social Justice Museum at one of my favorite places, Overa Street. So after this, we'll be getting tacos. We have a special podcast host today, and that is one of my favorite people on this planet, Dr. Marla Parker. I am now handing the microphone over to Dr. Parker.
Hello, and thank you so much, Anne-Marie. I know that typically I'm a guest, but I am honored now to be an actual interviewer. And today we have three awesome guests. One of them is Reverend Gary Williams. And so I'm going to be interviewing Reverend Gary Williams first. And so he is the pastor of St. Mark United Methodist Church in South Los Angeles. So I would like to just start, Reverend Williams, with, can you tell us your name and where you're from?
Well, I'm Gary Bernard Williams, born and raised in South Los Angeles.
Okay, great. And what part of South Los Angeles are you from?
Okay, so Los Angeles is broken down into east and west, mm-hmm. and north and south. Mm-hmm. So I was born on the east side, okay. of central South Los Angeles.
Okay.
East side, mm-hmm. Different than the west side.
Okay, got it.
But yeah, I was born in what we call the hood.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And now your church is is in that same area.
My church is on the west side of in South Los Angeles.
Okay.
So when I was growing up, mm-hmm. It was predominantly an African American community, mm-hmm. And the demographic switches, okay. and now it's a predominantly Hispanic community.
Okay. All right.
The church I grew up in is still there. We still do great ministry in that,
mm-hmm.
area.
Mm-hmm.
But my church, where I'm at, is, mm-hmm. West of the 110. I grew up on the east side of the 110 freeway.
Okay, got it.
I guess
okay.
that's the demarcation line.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent, good. So we like to just kind of ease into, mm-hmm. things, and so starting with your name and
right.
where you're from, and what's your favorite food?
Okay. I love food, period.
Okay, good to know.
So growing up, my mom, from San Antonio,
mm-hmm.
so I grew up on both black soul food, and also on Mexican food.
Awesome.
And so any day I could, it depends on what day it is.
Mm-hmm.
King Taco, I love going to King Taco.
Okay.
I love tacos, sopes, and burritos,
mm-hmm.
but I also, I love oxtails,
mm-hmm.
and things like that,
mm-hmm.
Collard greens, black-eyed peas, and all.
Awesome.
Those are some of my favorites. I just find it really difficult to have one favorite.
This is true. This
yeah.
is very true. So mine is mac and cheese.
Okay.
So I'm still on the hunt for the, mm-hmm. best mac and cheese in
right.
LA. So if you can tell me,
right.
give me any hints of good places, I would greatly appreciate that.
Let me think about that.
Okay, all right. And I remember before we started our interview, you mentioned this really great restaurant on the corner of Figueroa and Gage,
yes.
was it? Okay, and it's
yes.
like a fusion.
It is.
Of soul food and
yeah.
Mexican food?
Yes, it's
okay.
a family-owned business. Uh-huh. It's right on the corner of Gage and Figueroa,
mm-hmm.
Mexican family.
Mm-hmm.
I think from what I've been told that the dad had worked at a soul food restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and so he opened up his own space,
mm-hmm.
and they cater to both black and Hispanic folk. Great soul food menu,
mm-hmm.
and he also does Mexican foods, and it's this wonderful place. On Sundays, it's always packed.
Awesome. So, like,
yes.
the line is around the corner.
It is.
Okay. All
it
right.
Is.
That means it's a good place to
it
go.
It is.
Awesome.
Yes.
So, I'm glad that you mentioned your childhood when you talked about the food experiences that you had growing up with black soul food, but also Mexican food.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that a large part of your memories from
yes.
childhood, your favorite childhood memories?
Yes, well, growing up, I was an only child,
mm-hmm.
And so a lot of my, I guess my favorite memories would be going out, hanging out with my friends,
mm-hmm.
and going to other neighbors' homes. We had
mm-hmm.
brothers and sisters. It was something I didn't have at home,
yeah.
And so that kind of was when I think back over my life,
mm-hmm.
it was those times when I was able to hang out at a friend's house,
mm-hmm.
And share a meal and
mm-hmm.
laugh and talk with other with mm-hmm. brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something I just didn't have at home.
Yeah, I understand that too. I come from a small family,
mm-hmm.
So. Having other friends
yeah.
with big families, it
mm-hmm.
makes a difference because you just get to
yes.
see the difference in
yeah.
dynamics and
mm-hmm.
how people are raised and,
yeah.
and things like that.
Yeah.
So what was, can you tell us one of your most memorable childhood experiences that just kind of sticks out, and how did that shape you?
Okay, so when I was in the third grade,
mm-hmm.
We had a a contest, write a letter to then, at that time, believe it or not, John F. Kennedy was the president. And who the top two letters would be actually sent.
Oh, wow.
And mine was one of the ones that they sent.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
And that's one of my favorite memories.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah. So would you mind sharing what was in that letter?
Oh, God, it was a long time ago. I don't remember exactly what was in it. I was excited to be able to write a letter that actually went to the President of the United States. And of course, in those days, John F. Kennedy was a favorite president of black folk.
Yes, yes, he was. You know, yes.
Before Barack Obama.
Right. So what did that mean to you as a young black kid growing up?
The possibilities what I could be, what I could become. I think it put me on a road to service. You know, so, and that's why the life I live today is a life of service. It hasn't always been like that,
right,
but I think
right.
that inspired me. To be able to know that my letter reached the White House and somebody that I admired even as a little boy.
Amazing. That's good. And so, speaking of service and being of service, how did that play into your educational process and your educational experiences?
Okay. Well, I went to Trinity Street School, small elementary school on the east side. I was never the best student in class. And so I struggled, not as far as grades, but I struggled just trying to find my way and being competing. But it was it took a long time for me to really, really find my niche in education. I just don't think I had the best opportunities at elementary school nor middle school. It wasn't until I got to high school that I was introduced to, I was in the first class, Black History class. They had never had one at Manual Arts. I went to Manual Arts High School. And I was in that class as a 10th grader with mostly seniors. And so I think that kind of helped to kind of direct me. I began to really love history. And at one time I thought I would become a history professor.
So what are some of your I guess favorite historical figures, because we are talking about Black History Month. So who are some of your most historical or favorite historical figures and why?
Okay. Well, I really appreciate the work of Booker T. Washington. I was in a class where we had a debate between Booker T. and W.E.B. Du Bois. The reason I chose Booker T. in the way, and I actually read his life story and all of that, because I believe that he wanted to create a stable black community from the ground up with the trades. And sometimes I imagine what would the black community be like today?
Oh wow, yeah.
If we would have gone in that direction and kind of dominated trades for a long period of time, I think we could have built a strong community.
Got it. Okay.
You know, and so he's, I think, by far one of my favorites. Of course, Martin Luther King.
Yes. Yeah.
Harriet Tubman. And so many others. Those are the ones that kind of stick out for me.
So was learning about Black history, was that a turning point in your educational process that kind of laid the groundwork for what you're doing now?
Beginning to see, because I grew up in a neighborhood. It was a poor neighborhood. Most of my friends, like I said, they had large families. I was an only child. So our home life was a little different. I had both parents in the home. A lot of my friends didn't. And so that was a part of the struggle growing up. And so, but to see that we stand on the shoulders of people that have struggled to make it and to make a way for us.
Right.
I think that's why that inspired me to begin to pursue the the life work that I do today.
And that's a really important part of education. I think sometimes we think of education as just being in a classroom and learning from a teacher and seeing a lecture, hearing a lecture and reading a book and then taking a test. But education is so much more than that. Yes. You know, it's about recognizing who came before you and why they did what they did and how is that connected to who you are as a person. And I really admire the fact that, you know, you said it took me a minute to find my niche, you know, but you kept the course, you stayed the course in doing that. So what inspired you? What motivated you to say, you know what, I'm going to stick with this and find out my purpose and who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing?
I'd like to tell a little bit of my
my
journey.
Yes, yes.
So I made a detour. The community I grew up in, it was a lot of the folk that we looked up to were drug dealers and gang members and stuff like that. I got involved in drugs early, and I got hooked on crack cocaine in the 80s. And so it was a struggle getting back on my feet. It took going in and out of jail a few times, being living on the streets, and just being feeling a sense of worthlessness and hopelessness. But because my mother raised me in the church, and people kept praying for me, and, and people would call me or see me on the street and say, baby, we're praying for you. And so I think that at some point, I think it was 2002, something happened. I was arrested for the last time. And coming out of that arrest, made a decision to try a 12-step program. And I did. And I just kind of gained my liberation and my freedom from active addiction, which in turn, when that fog lifted, I got back on the path that I think God had for me all the time, and which was a call into the ministry.
And so that led you to finish at Cal State LA, and then you went on to
Claremont School of Theology.
Claremont. Okay, okay. And when did you finish at Claremont?
I finished Claremont in 2010. So I started in the 90s. I mean, I had these recurring relapses. And so I didn't finish. So I went back in 07, and by 2010 I graduated.
That is amazing because, and I'm so glad that you talked about that. And you're vulnerable enough to mention that because there are a lot of people who are in the same situation, and we relapse and we lose our course, we lose our way for various reasons, but it's so inspiring to hear and to know that you didn't give up, you know, and you said, I'm going to get through this, and I might get set back, but I am going to find my way back. So that's wonderful, and thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you so much.
Well, that's kind of my hope for the community, people that are struggling with itch, situations and circumstances out of their control, that there is hope, there's help, you know, and I believe that's what the church is really all about, is being the center of the community.
Absolutely, and that gets me to my next question about Black History Month, because as we all know, maybe we don't know for some of our listeners, that the church has been a mainstay in the Black community, and it's been a vital part of Black history as well. So what does Black History Month mean to you?
Okay. For me, Black History Month is something that I take pride in. The fact that I know who I come from. I know where my people come from. I'm proud of all of the accomplishments that we've made, the struggles that we've had. I think about those first slaves that came here and began to understand that they may not ever see freedom, but they knew that generations would come that would be free. And so they did what they had to do. They worked and they died. You know, people died for us to have the right to vote. You know, and so for me, Black history is a remembrance of those shoulders that we stand on and that we continue to create history today.
That's great. That's beautiful. And so does that also inform how you go about and how you approach social justice with being a reverend at the church as well?
Yes. I can't be engaged in ministry without speaking truth to power.
Right.
without without being engaged in what affects our community. And so we I believe that the church has to be on the front line of seeking justice for everybody.
You know? Absolutely. Yeah. So do you work with other churches as well in doing that too?
I do. I work I work with an organization called Clue.
Okay. All right.
I've done some work in the past with LA Voice. And there's a new group of black, predominantly black clergy that's working around issues in local issues around churches and property and gentrification. It's called the Faith Community Coalition.
Okay.
And also work very closely with other United Methodist churches.
Okay.
And pastors.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so, are these predominantly black United Methodist congregations, or do you find yourself also collaborating with non-African American?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a part of the our CalPAC conference, Justice and Compassion Essential Ministry team, and so that's made up of a diverse group of folk from around our connection, work on issues around immigration, ending mass incarceration, issues around what's going on in the Philippines, so many other things, eco-justice issues too.
Oh, really? Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. That's awesome. So you are just hitting all of the major area. That's good. Yeah. That's good. And so that's a driving force for you. And that's what it means to seek justice.
Absolutely. Okay. Right now we, excuse me, we started a small community garden last summer.
Nice.
The dream is to enlarge the garden this year, invite more community people to come and share in the produce. And also just to teach about the fact that we have to start eating healthier.
Right.
We live in a food desert.
Yeah, okay.
You know, my, my church is near, the only supermarket is Ralph's on Manchester and Western. There's no other supermarket within a 5 mile radius.
Oh, really? So just one? Oh,
just,
wow.
Just Ralph's. And we have just fast foods almost every corner, you know. McDonald's, Jack in the Box, next to each other. You know, so.
Yeah.
We got to eat better.
Absolutely. I mean, health is definitely a dimension of wealth, you know.
Yes.
So it's hard to have a full life without having one's full health.
Yes.
So absolutely. So speaking of programs that you do at your church, can you talk about your reentry program too?
Okay.
Yeah.
So when I was at Hamilton, we started a reentry program. It was called LAPS, Life After Prison Systems.
Okay.
And what we did when I was there was we had every day we'd invite folk that had been incarcerated to be a part of our program. It was a spiritual component. There was a substance abuse component, and there was a work component where we get people ready for job interviews, how to dress for success, and then we were connected with somebody that was a job coach that would send them out on interviews. And so I did that for a few years. Unfortunately, I'm not doing that particular work at this church. What I do now, though, is I'm working with another group called Second Chance.
Okay.
These are lifers that just got out.
Wow.
Men that have been incarcerated, some as long as 40 years.
Oh, wow.
And they're looking to start their lives again. And so we've been providing them with interview clothing, job leads, just being there for them. Just kind of trying to be a partner with them, you know.
So are you looking for volunteers at all for this kind of work?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. You're always looking for volunteers.
Absolutely. So how, if one wanted to help and to be of service in this program, how would they be able to start?
If you call my church office,
okay, all right,
and spoke to my administrative assistant,
okay,
and then they can get in touch with me through her.
Okay, good,
yeah, absolutely,
excellent, yeah. Good. So, what are some of the things that you think people misunderstand about those coming out of the prison system,
right,
especially lifers?
Right. Yeah, that they'll never change. Probably a lot of fear. What do they do to go in to do that much time? I think those are some of the fears that people have. They're different, you know. And so I think the church has to begin to play a more important role than just writing letters to people. Because what we find out when we write letters to folks, they come home and they come they come there. They come mm-hmm. to our church.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to find ways to engage them and be in partnership with them
right.
and show them that they are children of God, that they've mm-hmm. been blessed with a second chance, mm-hmm. and we want to be there mm-hmm. and walk with them through it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's amazing, mm-hmm. and that's such a demonstration of grace and mercy,
yes.
which I love, and that's beautiful, and the world certainly needs it more than ever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, more than ever. So if you could have dinner with any mm-hmm. historical Black figure, deceased or living, who would mm-hmm. it be and why? Would it be Booker T. Washington? Or
I think probably, yes, mm-hmm, I think it would mm-hmm. be Booker T. Washington.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes, I would like to sit down with him and have dinner mm-hmm. and to talk about his vision
mm-hmm.
for building a strong Black community,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
and see how we can, I would like to kind of build on that.
Yeah.
Because right now, we have a lot of our young people that are not going to college.
Right.
They need vocational mm-hmm. training as well as higher education.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so those opportunities are out there.
Right.
Again,
right.
you know, my daughter is struggling, mm-hmm. trying to find work right now. She's a young adult.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to find good permanent jobs now.
It is true.
You know?
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
So what, for you, what does the vision of what would be your vision of a strong Black community?
Okay.
Yeah.
One in which we could own our own homes,
mm-hmm.
have our own businesses,
mm-hmm.
Where our kids could be safe,
mm-hmm.
you know, to play in the streets like we used to when I was a kid, mm-hmm. Where the schools would be, where kids could be educated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of public education.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think we have too many charter schools now.
Mm-hmm.
That are, you know, and I think some of the charter schools take the best kids out of public schools,
mm-hmm.
and they leave our public schools
mm-hmm.
kind of struggling.
Mm-hmm.
So I think building our schools up,
mm-hmm.
Those are some of the things I think would,
yeah.
would build a strong community.
And so you have this wonderful vision as mm-hmm. an adult, as an experienced adult.
Yes.
You've gone through a lot. You've seen a lot, not just with your own life, but mm-hmm. with other lives. So thinking about that, what advice and what encouragement would you give your younger self?
Okay. I would share with my younger self to stay the course.
Mm-hmm.
Believe in yourself
mm-hmm.
that you are worthy
mm-hmm.
of accomplishing great things, that you mm-hmm. you can do it
mm-hmm.
because when I was growing up I didn't feel like that all the time
mm-hmm.
And so that's what I would share with myself
mm-hmm.
to just hang in there
yeah.
don't give up
mm-hmm.
keep pushing, keep moving forward
mm-hmm.
good yeah. good. And what would you share with our listeners in terms of giving them just overall encouragement?
I would like to encourage everybody that's listening to live your best life, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
To believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Believe in the God-given abilities that
mm-hmm.
you have.
Mm-hmm.
Use them for the betterment of others.
Yeah.
Move out of the way. Don't be selfish.
Right.
You know, and make a way for others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be a bridge builder.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. And so I think with that, unless you like any to add anything else,
no,
because this
I'm
is
good.
Your time. So.
Okay. Well, I'm preaching tomorrow, so.
Oh, I'll no, hope. That's okay. My bad. You're right. I know that, yes, you have to save up that energy.
Right,
I completely
right.
understand. No problem. Well, thank you so very much for taking the time.
Yes.
And again, listeners, you can always be of assistance. You can always
mm-hmm.
Serve. Part of living our best lives is serving. So consider serving at St. Mark United Methodist Church
yes,
with Reverend.
Go to our website.
Yes, go to the website.
My
absolutely.
Facebook page.
Yes.
And hit me up.
Awesome. And this
All
is
right.
Reverend Gary Bernard Williams. So
yes.
thank you so much for your
thank
time.
You.
We appreciate you. Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I hope I